Hello, and welcome to the Empowerography Podcast. This is a platform created for women's voices to be heard and a place to share their stories, journeys, and successes with the world for the purpose of helping other women who might be on similar journeys. We are empowering women one episode at a time. I'm your host, Brad Walsh, so kick back, grab one of your favorite beverages, and enjoy the stories. The world needs to hear your message and your story, so don't deny the world of that gift within you that the universe has given you. Someone out there needs to hear your story because it will support them in feeling hope, inspired, and even transformed. Do you want to discover how I help get my clients out of their own way, show up, and confidently share their message? I would love to extend an invitation to you to join me in my free masterclass, Start Your Own Podcast from Idea to Implementation, on Wednesday, April 5th at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can find the registry link in the show notes. Hope to see you there. Hello there, Brad Walsh here, your host of the Empowerography Podcast. Today, my guest is Tosca DiMatteo. She is a leadership and career coach, a keynote speaker, a published author, and the CEO of Tosca Coaching and Consulting. Welcome, Tosca. So grateful and happy to have you here. We have been talking about and working on getting this done for quite a while, since last year, and I'm grateful to finally have the opportunity to sit down and speak with you. So thank you for taking and making the time to be here with me today. How are you?
Oh, thank you so much. Likewise, I just love being in conversation with you. You're just such a generous spirit and just love what you're doing. So thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. The pleasure and honor is all mine. So with that being said, let's jump in. Tosca, that is a lot of hats you wear and one hell of a resume. It would seem, though, that all of these hats you wear are quite closely tied in together with one another. How do you prioritize and how important is prioritization and organization to you?
Yeah, well, thank you. I've always enjoyed variety in what I do and helping and supporting people in different ways. And some of that is holding space for others. Some of that is problem solving. And I think what I've learned over the course of building this business is just to really have an anchor, and most too, but like an anchor to say, this is really where I'm putting my time and energy. And right now that is around speaking and getting in front of groups. So yeah, it's just really important for me to have that anchor so that on the days where I'm like, what the heck am I doing? I can just be like, okay, right, this is it.
Love it. That's great that you're getting out there to amplify your message and your voice. Get out there on stages. And you told me just before we jumped on air, you started a podcast. So that's huge too. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yeah.
That is amazing.
It's nice. I had an Instagram program called Talk About It Tuesday, and I did interviews. I did 80 interviews over 2 years. Yeah. And so something about that, right? And so this is kind of the next iteration of it.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, congratulations. It's a huge undertaking. You should be very proud.
Thank you.
Now, wearing multiple hats and being a multidisciplinary as you are, I'd love to know, what does your morning routine look like?
Yeah. So I tend to go to a boot camp workout in the morning, a couple days a week. And I'm not a morning person. This kind of gets me up and out. I come home and shower. I usually maybe listen to a podcast or some music while I'm doing that, make a breakfast. And on the days where I'm feeling spacious, which I really try to do, this is, you know, I try to sit in front of my altar and just take time out to just kind of come into myself before I jump on the computer. I want to do that more, but that's kind of a typical day in the life.
That's important. You take that me time. You get that time, as you said, sit in front of your altar to get that regular practice in to just kind of center and ground yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
What were you doing for a living before you made the jump into the world of entrepreneurship? And what was the catalyst for that leap into the entrepreneurial world?
I was climbing the corporate ladder in brand marketing. I was a senior director. And the catalyst was really twofold. On the one hand, my husband was actually, there was a chance, like it looked like there was a good chance that we were going to move for his job, which I was willing to do, down into the DC area. And that really got me thinking about, well, what am I going to do? There wasn't the remote work phenom. Yeah. And my industry, marketing, isn't really in the DC area. So it really got me thinking about what I do and what would I want. And that was like the first time that I've been kind of asking myself in this very linear path in my career. And then the second piece was I was coming up on a milestone birthday in teen months, and I really wanted to pressure test, am I living the life that I want to live? Am I living my potential? And in answering these questions, that was the catalyst for deciding I need to see what else is possible.
And so what is it that drives or motivates you to keep going and excelling at all that you do, Tosca?
To be honest, on my darkest days as an entrepreneur, I won't talk about how often that happens.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. We all have our days, right? It is not easy. I mean, I think that entrepreneurship is right up there close to being a parent and raising kids. Very different, but it pushes you in ways that you've never experienced before. It tests you. It tries you. It's tough. It's a long, hard battle.
Yeah, it is. No, and I don't shy away from being honest about that journey. It's not ever something that I dreamt of doing. It wasn't like,
yeah.
But I think what really grounds me on those tough days are I think about the people that I know in my life who are stuck or miserable or aren't taking steps to heal from their past. And when I keep those people in mind, or the people that I've met fleetingly, like where I see what else could be possible for them, that's what drives me to keep putting my messages out there and to keep letting people know there's another side, there's another way.
Yeah. It's a hard road, but honestly, I don't think I'd trade it for anything. It's an amazing journey. It pushes you. Like I said, it tests you. And what's funny, I've spoken with a few women as of late, and two or three of them have said entrepreneurship was not their choice. They went into it kicking and screaming.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't go in kicking and screaming. I just went into it a bit oblivious about the path ahead, but also it's liberating. There's so much about it that is amazing. And I have no desire to go down another path right now. And I think that's the true tell of I'm supposed to be on this path and it's supposed to be hard. And like, to me, that's the... Yeah. True test.
So I want to talk a little bit about your coaching journey. Now, you are a coach, as we mentioned off the top. What inspired you to get into the world of coaching? What was the inspiration behind that?
Well, at one point in my career, I was given the opportunity to have a coach. And it was a little bit of this, they were trying to figure out what exactly was going on in the situation, what was happening. And the first time I sat down with this coach, I just kind of was like, what? There's this function that exists, and I had never had that kind of support. And so there was definitely a seed planted then to say, I think I want to do this. And then in the course of her helping me get unstuck, helping me find a whole new path forward in my life, it just kind of continued to build that desire and that kind of innate thing that I have been doing my whole life, which is supporting others in their journey. So.
And so what is it then that sets you and the work you do as a coach, apart from other coaches? Why would someone choose to work with you?
I think at the end of the day, it is really about vibe. At the end of the day, you choose one over the other because you see something in me that you want for yourself or you aspire to. And I think another reason why folks choose me when they do, because I'm vulnerable with my stories as a way to help and invite others to share their truth. And that resonates for people. They can see their journey in my stories. I think that's the core of it. And then I think the other piece, kind of more tangibly, is I've had a long career in corporate. I understand reality. I'm very grounded in what these environments are. And at the same time, I have a perspective on how to create more magic in your life and can offer new ways of thinking about that. And so I think people, they want both. Do you understand the situation? And how do I even break out of this mold and status quo that I've been indoctrinated into for my entire life?
That relatability factor is incredibly important, for sure.
Yeah.
Like you said, they have to vibe with you.
Yeah. And there's no forcing that.
No.
I'm either your flavor or I'm not. There is no 90% discount that's going to make you change your mind.
Very true. What would you say are three of the most important lessons you've learned as a transformational leadership and career coach?
holding space for others to share their stories is sacred and healing in and of itself. Every time I maybe get a little bit nervous about, man, you know, how do I support this person? How do I help them in the journey? I just come back to that, that my A number one job is just holding space for them to express and feel and all the things. So that's one of the biggest lessons. The other lesson is, you know, the breakdown always leads to the breakthroughs. And that I try to instill that positivity and that hope and that light for my clients because I know it to be true. I see it in my journey and in others. So it's, I keep relearning that every time I'm having a really freaking hard moment. It's just wait a minute. Just hold on a little bit longer. The breakthrough is on the other side.
Yeah.
And then I think the third thing is I have really learned that the inner critic work, a piece of the work that I do, is the most powerful thing that we can do, not only for ourselves, but also to unlock what's possible for our lives. And I've started to focus on that when I really realized, oh, this unlocks so much for people. So let me go after that.
That inner critic, those inner gremlins, demons, whatever you want to call them, those are our tough battle, a tough fight. And we all go through that. We all struggle with that from time to time. And I struggle with that a hell of a lot when I first started my entrepreneurial journey. But learning to turn the volume down on those inner gremlins, that's the key, and getting into that space. And you'll still deal with it from time to time through your entrepreneurial journey, but having the tools to know how to turn the volume down when they do come up is key for sure.
Absolutely. And the surprising piece of this work is that sometimes we have to provide the space to let those critics actually speak their mind. And that can shift things. Because if we're so busy stuffing what our inner critic has to say, that that part of us also wants to be acknowledged. That part of us is fearful and that part of us is trying to protect us. So, but once we do that, turning the volume down and creating new streams of thoughts and things that serve us is absolutely life-changing.
For sure. How, Tosca, has your coaching style evolved from when you first started coaching to where you are now?
As with most professions, you are learned the way, right? You are learned this is the box. And then what they don't do is they don't tell you, here's this box and here's how you integrate your other superpowers and other modalities. So I think the biggest way my coaching style has evolved is really just learning to trust my instinct more and not worry about the box so much. Obviously, there's integrity and there's ethics and all that stuff. But to say, sometimes you have to wear different hats within a coaching session, and that's okay. So I've evolved to be like, you know what? If there's this thing I think I got to say or this truth I need to share, then I do it. And 9.9 out of 10 times is the most powerful thing I can do in that moment.
Yeah. We're not meant to be in boxes. It's too constraining, too confining.
Exactly.
What lights you up or inspires you the most about the work you do as a coach?
I think what really inspires me is the ripple effects that the work has, because I know that when I'm supporting one person to show up as a best version of themselves, that other people are impacted by that. And that really inspires me because I know it's not just one-to-one. It's always one-to-many.
What, in your opinion, is the most important quality or skill set in a coach?
In a coach, really non-judgment is so important because that means you can be open to what's before you.
And what about in a leader? What would you say is the most important quality or skill set in a leader?
Having an orientation around service, being a service-minded person. How can I help remove the obstacles that others are facing, I think is so important.
What is your greatest strength as a coach?
I go deep. I get to the root of what is going on. I like to say that I don't apply Band-Aids. I heal wounds.
And I love that. That's awesome.
Thank you. Because that's really what creates the transformation beyond the present moment. Because you can shift a thought or shift a behavior in the moment. But when you're actually addressing what's underneath, then you really start to create lasting change.
I don't use Band-Aids. I heal wounds. I love it, Tosca. That's awesome. That's
Thank
so
you.
Good.
Thank you.
What would you say is the process that best supports leadership development?
Building a deep awareness of the patterns that you're in and what's truly serving you and what's serving others is the very first step in the process. And then the other piece of that is understanding the emotions behind your choices and moving through the emotion versus around it, which is applying a Band-Aid, right? It's not actually. And then making just that micro change in how you react or respond. That's really the process. I mean, it's simple. It's not easy. Let me put it that way.
For sure. Now, obviously, the work you do, you work with CEOs, leaders, innovative minds in leadership. I'd love to hear your thoughts and opinions on what the difference is between an expert, leadership, and thought leadership.
Juicy. I think an expert has a deep knowledge about a subject, and it's about sharing knowledge and information. The way I define leadership is that it's anybody who takes responsibility and accountability on their impact on others. And so that's not about actually having direct reports or having, but that you have a deep awareness of how you're impacting others around you. And I think thought leadership is about showing folks a new way of looking at the world, at what's possible, and a bit of the how to get there.
How do you define transformational leadership, and how does it differ from other leadership styles?
So it's interesting, right? This question, because it makes me think about how I talk about myself, because I say I'm a transformational leadership coach. What I probably should say is I am a transformational coach for leaders. But this question has me thinking about, what is transformational leadership? And I think transformational leadership, if maybe we can coin that term together, is about usurping long-held behaviors and processes and beliefs in service of creating an actual sustainable way forward. And that means transformational leadership is that you're not afraid to be the lone voice in the room. It's about being of service to a desired future, even if you can't see it or if it's really hard to imagine that's even possible. And I think the other component is that transformational leadership will always put people first. And that to do that, the actual first building block of that is to look at ourselves first and see how we are treating ourselves and therefore how we are treating others.
Yeah, because when you think about or look at how you treat yourself and you exemplify that for others, you're teaching them how to treat others. You're teaching them how to treat themselves. You have to be the example, especially as a leader. That's part of your job, is to set the example for those you're working with.
100%.
It's important.
And it also means that you don't have to get it right. Yes. You just have to admit when you don't know and share that and enlist others. And that's what people want. They don't want the answers. They want to know that they matter, and it matters that they're in the room and they're happy to be a part of the solution. And so leaders don't have to take on that pressure of, I have to know everything.
Well, we don't know everything though.
Yeah.
It's okay. But I think that I love that you said that, because I think that's a very important quality in a good leader, is being able to admit when you don't have the answers and you have a team to lean on. Utilize them. It's okay. That's what they're there for, is to support you. It's a collaborative effort.
Yeah. It's absolutely co-creation. Yeah. So I hope.
There we go. We just coined transformational leadership.
Yeah, there we go. We're gonna write a book.
I love it. Now, we're constantly hearing about burnout in the corporate world and in general, in many different areas of the workplace. As we know, leadership can be incredibly demanding. How do you address and help to prevent burnout among leaders, ensuring a sustained effectiveness in a transformative role?
Really, it's all about helping that leader to truly understand what is happening for them. And a big part of that is really questioning the status quo, really asking if they are also operating under unreasonable expectations, and to really get underneath and say, what's working and what's actually not working for you? Because they're also a part of the system that's not working, right?
Yeah.
And they also struggle. So big part of that then turns into the skill set around boundaries and managing up. So it has to start with them, as opposed to everybody else is like doing something wrong.
Yeah. And again, setting that example for the people for your team.
Yeah.
You have
and
to be
say
the
it's
example.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Because the systems have gotten into this like unreasonable expectation. I mean, let's just take a page out. We talked about entrepreneurial, right? Like these expectations that you're supposed to be posting on social every day and playing with the algorithms. And all of that is BS.
It is bullshit. 100%.
Right? And it's not sustainable and all the things. So how do we then come back to the truth of what actually works?
Well, this also feeds into and exemplifies the whole masculine hustle culture bullshit and all of these things. Things are different now. We don't have to do things the way they have been done for so many years. It's time for change.
And that's exactly why it's important for people to decondition from everything that they've been taught to believe and understand their truth about what works. That to me is the most powerful thing, because we have the answers within us based on our unique experiences, who we are, our personalities, to say, oh, how can we do things differently that is more sustainable, that doesn't lead to burnout? And yeah, sorry, I could just get on a soapbox.
No, that's okay. No, I think this is a great topic and it needs to be discussed. We need to work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
There's an easier way of doing things.
And the way that I see that is we have to work in a way that is in alignment with how we operate and what fuels us and what lights us up. Because the minute that we kind of stray from that and more go towards the shoulds and the I need to's, the more you're kind of going astray from your superpowers and your magic.
A friend of mine always tells me, stop shooting on yourself.
Right.
We got to stop that. Things need to change. We need to do things differently. It doesn't have to be done the way it's been done for the past however many years. It's time for a change. And we all bring our unique gifts and skill sets. So if we work together collaboratively, we can focus on our lane or our genius zone and leave the other stuff to the other people. That's their area of expertise. And then we come together collaboratively and get the job done that way.
100%. I may have even said this on the podcast I dropped today, which was that when we allow ourselves to do the thing that we're meant to do, the thing that we're really good at, right? That means we're opening doors for the people that are meant to do the things that we're not meant to do, right?
Yes, exactly. And this speaks to, you mentioned conditioning. When we're kids, when we're in school, and, you know, maybe I'm not so good at math, but I'm better at English. Well, you got to work on your math skills. No, why can't I just, yes, of course, math is important for certain things, but why are we not teaching our kids to focus on their area of genius from a young age? And as you said, when we do that, when we focus on that one skill and put more work into that, it opens up the areas of the other things for other people to step in where that's their zone of genius. This is what we need to do with our children when they're in school. Don't worry about the seven other things that you're not so good at. You can't be good at everything. So focus on your strength, not on your weaknesses or things that you're not as good at. Focus on your strengths.
I'm into that, because that carries on into corporate, which is your weaknesses.
Or entrepreneurship.
Whatever it is. Oh, I got to get better. No, you don't. You actually don't have to get better at that. You just have to know your limitations. You have to know when you need support. That's the biggest piece. Yeah, I can't agree with you more on this.
Well, this is the other piece too, is we are also taught that asking for help is a sign of weakness, when I think it's completely opposite. Asking for help is a sign of strength.
Oh,
not asking for help is a weakness.
1,000%. I was indoctrinated into that way of thinking. Yeah. And it took me years and years to realize there is an easier way, folks, and that it is a birthright to be supported.
Absolutely.
And that other people actually want to support you and want to feel needed. And so by denying that, we're denying other people to experience joy in the support of you as well.
100%. I love that. Beautifully said, Tosca. I love it. Now, leaders often face resistance to change. How do you help them to navigate and overcome resistance and fostering a culture of openness and adaptability?
We have to face the deepest layers of our fear. That's the resistance to change. In my opinion, it's the fear and the limiting beliefs about what change will mean. These are the barriers. So addressing these things first are critical to enable the openness to see what change can do and how it can be of service. But really looking at Sometimes that means looking at our history.
Yeah.
And saying, why do we fear this? And is that still true? Because again, our inner critics, they tell us lies. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we've just bought into those lies. So I think that's the biggest thing around change is really digging in and understanding, well, what is it you're really fearful of? And a lot of people are fearful in the world that I work in of irrelevance. Well, if I have to do something different, but I'm known for this other thing, or this is how I've built my career on this other thing. So if I move away from that, then what good am I? It's like
they identify with that. That's their identity.
Yeah, exactly.
Change is scary as shit. Absolutely it is. But if we stay in our comfort zones, we stay stuck. You have to step out every once in a while. And like I said, change is scary as shit. But when you step out of that comfort zone or step out of what you know into something new, it's also liberating. It's incredible.
And I say to people, and I've had to go through this journey myself, that it can be very difficult to understand the difference between resistance and your gut intuition about what's for you or what's not for you. And it's often confusing because you can say, that's not for me, but that's actually fear-based and resistance-based as opposed to, oh, actually, I just need to move through the discomfort of something, but it's actually in my best interest.
For sure. But that also speaks to doing the work, doing the self-work so that you know the difference between the fear-based and your intuition.
Bingo.
100. Light bulb just went off.
CoachTosca.com. Yeah, no. 1,000%. I mean, that's the truth. Yeah.
What mindset shifts are crucial for leaders aiming to adopt a transformational leadership style, and how can these shifts impact organizational culture?
I have found that the mindset shifts that are needed are very individual based. It's very much, it stems from unresolved past. It stems from big T traumas, little T traumas. And a big part of the work around mindset shifts is to be non-judgmental of yourself, because that's what enables that non-judgment of others and to stop filling in the narrative of shit that's not true, that you have no idea. You're just making it up. But part of that also includes self-forgiveness. Oftentimes, that's a part of the journey with shifting our mindsets and giving ourselves grace. And by doing this, the reason why this type of thing can shift organizational culture is because this is the stuff that is the foundation of true and a deeper layer of trust among humans. But yeah, a lot of the mindset shifting is around scarcity, is around fear, self-preservation, but it's very different for each person in terms of what it is they have to kind of move through to get to a more non-judgmental way of moving in the world.
Love it. Thank you for sharing that. How do you help leaders align their personal values with their leadership style, fostering authenticity and ethical decision-making?
This goes back, I think, to what we were talking about earlier, right? Which is we've been conditioned to think that leadership looks a certain way. And part of the excavation is getting a deeper understanding of what is somebody's true authentic leadership style. What are their superpowers and what works for them? And yeah, part of that is understanding their values. But most people end up just adopting the leadership style that they were taught or that they have seen garnered the mobility that they desire. So I've kind of been using this phrase lately, which is we have to take out the trash that right that we've been carrying around. Mm-hmm. To really understand the gold that's underneath there. So part of that is just really excavating with people.
I love that word.
What has worked for them? Yeah. What has actually worked for you in the past, and digging in and not looking just at the career path, but their personal lives. What has worked for you in inspiring others or motivating others or getting things done? And then they can look at that and say, oh, right. That's my special sauce.
Well, doing things the other way is almost in a way inauthentic. Because you're just adopting someone else's style. It's not you. It's not who you authentically are. Sure, you take pieces from what you see, what you've learned, but also you have to, as you said, you have to put your own special sauce in there as well, because if not, you're being completely inauthentic. And leadership is authenticity. And I know it's a buzzword and people are using it all the time now, but it's true.
But it's true. And I think so many people are doing this unconsciously. Like they don't even know that they're not acting from their truth because it's just been so embedded. And that's what gets confusing. And that's why people reach these points in their careers where they're so frustrated and they're stuck because they've lost themselves and they don't know how to find it again.
They're robots. Yeah. You're just marching to the orders, marching to who you're not being who you truly are. And you need to put, as you said, your special sauce in there for sure. Because no one else is you. Nobody. So put your spin on it. Put your flavor on it.
Exactly.
What is one tip or takeaway that you could provide that listeners can implement immediately to start stepping into and embracing their inner leader and begin to own that?
The number one thing I would say is you have to listen to your whispers. You have to trust those little whispers. And actually, people just get so used to dismissing it. Like the little whisper that says, say something to him, or the little whisper that says, don't send the email, or just those little internal guides that are always there. They're always there. It's just, you got to start listening to them, turn up the dial, and then take action on it and take that leap of faith to say, that's going to serve you. Just know that's going to serve you.
Love it. Thank you for that. Tosca, as mentioned off the top, you are a published author. I would love for you to speak a little bit about the book you've written or participated in, the title, subject matter, and what was that experience for? Was that experience like for you sharing your story, putting it out there for the world?
Yeah, thank you. I was a part of a book anthology called Culture Impact, Strategies for World-Changing Workplaces. And it was a book with all different kinds of authors and perspectives on culture transformation. And my chapter was on inner critics and how inner critic work is the deepest layer of culture transformation. To be honest, it was not difficult to write because I have had a blog for many years. I've talked about my stories in writing, on social. The biggest challenge was to stay true to my style and stay true to my storytelling approach and not drift towards this mentality that, oh, you have to have all this data. You have to reference a whole bunch of data to show that what you're talking about. But to just honor, like, actually my life experiences, the knowledge that I've gained in a number of ways is valid. And I don't need to point to this thing or that thing to justify what I have to say. That was the biggest. Yeah, I had to hold the line on that.
Be who you authentically are.
Exactly. And share it the way share it the way that's true for me and that I think is most impactful and how I think people resonate with information.
There you go. Yeah. And you did it. So there you go.
Thank you.
What is one of the most important things you've learned in your life? And what was your life like before you learned it? And what was your life like after learning it?
Oh, such a deep question. I think I learned that people act the way they do for a reason. I think this is something that I've always held as a belief, even since I was a kid. I was picked on as a kid. I looked differently from everybody else. And so I just held this belief that we just don't know any better. And as I've matured and experienced life, I've just learned this to, I just deeply believe this. People are doing the best they can. They're hurting. And also, I think the second lesson that I've learned that has been really important for me is that, yes, I can be empathetic to why people are showing up the way they are. And it doesn't mean I have to accept what is unhealthy for me to be around.
And that's important.
That is so right. Because it's, gosh, I can hold so much space for people. And I can hold space for the potentiality of who they can become. But what's different for me, since I've really honored that I actually don't have to hang around folks that are not acting in healthy ways, is that I am more discerning around who gets my energy. And that's liberating
for
sure. I actually don't have to be around this. I hope you heal. I hope you can shift your perspective and your behaviors. But I don't need to be around for that journey if it's not healthy for me.
But that self-awareness is huge. And again, that speaks to doing the work.
Well, yeah, I believe that you can't do this work. You can't support others in transformation if you aren't constantly going through that metamorphosis all the time.
For sure.
Because it's easy to say to you, here, use this tool. I don't know what that's going to look like, but you know.
Yeah. absolutely. What is an unexpected blessing or occurrence in your life that you're grateful for?
I'm super blessed to have met my husband when I did. I met him at 24 when I was in my MBA program. And I'm just so grateful that we've been able to grow closer together versus further apart, because we also were very different people when we met. So he's my rock. He's my consistency in my life. And I don't know where I'd be without that.
What is one thing you know now that you wish you knew when you first started your entrepreneurial journey?
Release all expectations of your timeline. Yeah, I just thought, oh my gosh, you should be able to replace your, corporate salary in a year, 18 months. What? Where did I come up with that shit? If somebody would have told me, look, whatever you think is going to happen, I'm going to just need you to release that and know that it's going to be a long haul journey.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Jumping into entrepreneurship, I mean, you have all these ideas. Yeah, you might as well throw everything out the window, forget it, and start from scratch.
Well, and I say all the time, like, I'm not selling cereal boxes. That might be a little bit easier to predict. But the stuff that you do, the stuff that I'm doing, we're creating movements.
Yes.
We're bucking up against status quo. We're like, I think we're ahead of the times, right? People aren't quite ready for the truth yet. And so, gosh, that requires a lot of tenacity and stick-to-itiveness and knowing that this doesn't happen quickly.
It takes fucking patience. There have been so many times where I've thrown my hands up and just wanted to say, fuck this. This is too hard. I don't want to do this. But no, it's a matter of knowing that what you're here to do is so much bigger than you. And you have to do it. It's part of who you are. It's part of your mission. It's part of your purpose. You can't give up on that. You have to keep going, as difficult as it may be. It's easy to quit. It's very easy to quit and say, fuck this, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. Right?
I'm feeling so validated right now. Yeah.
Good. I love that.
Brad, and also there is a privilege that I have in the runway. And so different people have to make different choices. And I think that part of it too is me being grateful for the privilege that I do have and how I am doing this. And coming back to that on those hard days and be like, you know what? Other people, they do have to throw in the towel because they don't have the time to wait for the revenues to come in and sustain their lives. So
100%. You're right. I love that you mentioned that, because that's very important to mention too, that not everyone is that blessed that they can just keep pushing.
Or they have to do it in a different way, right? They have to do it in a slower drip kind of way versus I'm going whole hog into this and I'm just doing all the things. Yeah. So.
For sure.
But to each his own.
Yeah, very true. As they say, where there's a will, there's a way. If you want it bad enough, you'll figure out a way to make it happen.
Truth. Yeah.
What do you think your unique skill set or superpower is that's helped you become successful?
I think it is my ability to constantly work with my own inner critics and address them, and which is basically constantly doing the work of getting out of my own way. I think because I've had to do this my entire life and to this day and until the day I die, that this superpower is what enables me to help others to get out of their own way, because I'm constantly doing it for myself.
We are our own worst enemies. We are our biggest hurdles. We are our worst critics. All the external shit, that's nothing. It's this in here and getting the fuck out of our own way.
Totally. Can we also write a book with that title? How to
get the fuck out of your own way. I think we should. Absolutely. Yes. I'm still working on it, but I think we should.
Yes. Hey, me too. It's always a work in progress.
Yes, absolutely. Now, speaking of success, Tosca, how do you define that word? What does success mean to you?
I think it's really about impacting people by helping them see or think differently about themselves and possibility.
What does the word empowerment mean to you?
To me, it means honoring your truth and all of the truth, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's true empowerment. Say, yep, I got all this shit and I got all this gold. And that's just what you get.
Yeah. It's a mix of both gold and shit.
Can you see the emojis? I can see the emojis.
I can, yes. I see a diamond, not gold. I see a diamond and I see a pile of shit.
We got to coin this.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, we're going to jump into a little rapid fire section here. Okay, so the next grouping of questions just be 1, 2, 3, 4 word answer type thing. Okay. Right. How would you describe yourself in one word?
Feisty.
Yeah. What is your favorite self-care practice?
Going for a walk outside.
If you could teach the world one thing, what would it be?
How to be your own best friend.
What is one thing you want but cannot buy with money?
Deep, meaningful connections with people.
If you could be remembered for one thing, what would it be?
Helping people to own their power.
What is one thing you love about yourself that is not related to your physical appearance?
My willingness to speak truth to power.
Beautiful. That concludes our rapid fire section. Now back to our regularly scheduled program. I've started this new thing and I'm trying to think of a name. All I could come up with was the money question. So this one question, just to something completely different. If you could take one feeling or one belief, bottle it and give it to someone, what would it be?
It would be for people to know that they are exactly where they are meant to be in every moment.
What is your why?
Our workplaces should be places where we can feel lifted and supported.
If you could step into my shoes, what question would you have asked yourself that I didn't ask you?
What do you do for fun?
Okay. What do you do for fun?
I love to travel.
Awesome. Traveling is amazing.
Yeah. That's like a number one. Yeah.
If you had the opportunity to sit down and have a 1 hour conversation with one woman, any woman in the world, who would it be and why?
Who comes to mind first, I'll just go with that because there's just no right answer here, is Michelle Obama. And I think that's because her book, Becoming, to me, was an entire book on inner critic work. So I just love to talk to her about that because she was just so open about her journey with her own confidence.
If you could go back and give your younger self one piece of advice, what would that piece of advice be?
Go to therapy.
All right. Lastly, Tosca, if you were to deliver your last 30-second speech to the world, your tribe, your people, your corner of the world, what would that last 30 seconds sound like? What words of wisdom would you impart?
I would say go after it. Go all in. Don't hold back. You've got nothing to lose. You have one life to live, and the world needs you to show up with your gifts exactly as you are. Just own it, claim it, and run with it, and don't look back.
Beautifully said. Beautiful way to end the interview, Tosca. Thank you so much for being here with me, for taking and making the time to be here, for sharing about the beautiful light you put out into the world through the work you do, and for sharing your story and your journey. It has been an absolute honor and pleasure having you, Tosca. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much. This has been a complete joy and a great start to my day.
Beautiful. Thank you. I received that. Have a beautiful day. Once again, my name is Brad Walsh, host of your Empowerography podcast. Today, my guest has been Tosca DiMatteo. She is a transformational leadership and career coach, a keynote speaker, a published author, and the CEO of Tosca Coaching and Consulting. Thank you so much, Tosca. Have a beautiful rest of your day. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. If you haven't yet, please be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share with all your friends. You can find me at viseuphoria.ca and follow me on Instagram at Empowerography Podcast and on Facebook at Empowerography. Please join me next time for another inspirational story from yet another amazing woman.